Turn your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter number 28. Proverbs chapter number 28. We'll start reading at verse number 9. If you'll stand, please. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be abomination. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is a man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to think about the service now. We need God to help us preach. We need to hear from heaven. We need God to do something for us. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege we have to pray. And you bid us come boldly, throne of grace, obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, we come today thanking you for every song's been sung. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the sweet spirit that has prevailed. But now comes time for the preaching of the Word of God. And I realize the fact today that there are those who would love to be here and cannot come. Asking God to help them. I pray for those who are in bereavement and sorrows heavy on their hearts. Give them grace and strength in this time. Then, Father, we pray that you would help those that have been invited to come to church today and yet they did not come. I pray the Holy Spirit would even right now remind them that church is going on and they need to be there. And I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart and deal with them and help them. Then, Father, we come in the house of God and today and we're thinking about this service. How good you've been to us thus far, but now comes time for preaching. And Lord, I need a divine touch of God. I pray for physical, spiritual, and emotional help. And Father, I pray for that divine touch of God be upon us. And Lord, rebuke the devil, the evil powers that would work against it. There are those here today that need Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray the Holy Spirit bring conviction, draw them by your power, and help us, God, say what we need to say. And I pray the power of God be upon it and help all of us be honest with ourselves and honest with you. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We're looking today in these verses of scripture about hearing the law and if you don't do what God says, his prayer is abomination. He who covers sin shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And there's some things I'm going to try to say this morning and probably try to finish up tonight, but we're going to be baptizing. But I want to do something I think special tonight and pray that God would help us in that. And I believe that we can be honest with God, honest with ourselves, and honest with one another. And God will bless it and God will use it for his glory and for his honor. I pray that God would help us today as we look in this portion of Scripture and thinking about this subject, tragedies in our churches, tragedies in our churches. Now, I realize God's been good to us here at Gateway, and as churches go, we certainly have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to praise his name for. I'm not in any way saying that Gateway is a sinful, dirty church, but I believe that every church has need of this preaching. I believe every church can be helped. I believe every person individually can be helped. I believe all of us can get closer to God. I believe that all of us could need have a revival in our hearts. And we might realize the goodness of God to us and praise his holy name. I don't believe that Gateway, nor myself, nor none of us are where we could be with the Lord, as close as we could be, power of God upon us that it could be. And that we're looking for Jubilee, and I've said before and I want to say it again today, Jubilee just doesn't happen. Just because we schedule a meeting, have a certain preacher in, have singers in, this, that, and the other, that does not mean that God's going to be on it. But I believe as God's people get ready for it, we can see God move in a special and a powerful way and see God do something for us. And I pray that God in this year, 2012, will challenge our hearts and encourage us and help all of us. You see, in our churches, we're self-satisfied, spiritually bankrupt, and most of the time sick church, or at least sometimes sick church. I want you to look in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 14. This is about the Laodicean church, and that's the last church age. That's listed before the rapture of the church. And so we not need to be surprised because of lukewarmness that we have today, because God said in the last church age, He gave us a picture of it in the Laodicean church in that day. Look in verse 14 of Revelation 3. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And I think today that if we're not careful, we'll get in that position. I realize we're not going to be rich as billionaires or millionaires, but as far as having things and enjoying things this of life that our forefathers didn't enjoy, didn't have, and we certainly could be identified with that verse. Rich, increase of goods, have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Thou mayest be rich in white raiment. Thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And so as you read those verses of Scripture and we think about ourselves, and I pray that we'll be honest with ourselves that we do have need of spiritual life. We have need of God stirring our hearts. I'm a candidate for revival. I'm a candidate for God to move in my heart, God to move in my life. And Gateway Baptist Church, I believe, is a candidate for God to do what He wants to do in our hearts and our lives in these days. And I pray that we'll let God do that. Now, let me give you three things this morning as quickly as God will let me do that. And I pray that He'll speak to our hearts as we look at it and think about it. I've said this over and over again, but I'm reminded of that song somebody sung here one time about the old preacher. Said he's faithful, crowd's gone down, but said he still says the heaven to gain and the hell to shun. Y'all remember that song? I feel like that old preacher saying the same thing. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And there's a life to live in victory. And there is joy to be had in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And I thank God for it. Let me say today that I believe one of our great problems in our churches, and this is not talking about just Gateway, this across America, that in our churches, one of the great needs we have is people that not saved to get saved. Now, I believe people that's really saved, I believe they'll want to go to church. Amen. People that are really saved, I believe they'll want to go to church. I realize they may get out of the will of God. They may be cold on God and be ashamed to come. I realize that fact. And we need to help them and encourage them and strengthen them and try to help them along the way. But I believe today sometimes we try to get people revived. And what they really need is a good dose of old-time salvation. And that'd help them. They get saved, born in the family of God. They'd have a desire to go to the house of God. And Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many in that day come and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out demons, devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. Then he said, I profess unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I know you not. And did you know Judas Iscariot walked with the greatest teacher that ever taught? He lived with the greatest preacher that ever preached for 3.5 years to thereabouts, and yet died and went to hell without God. You can sit in any Baptist church and sit there and die and go to hell if you don't really get saved and born in the family of God. It's not joining the church. I think people saved ought to join the church. I think people are saved ought to get baptized. That's what we're going to do tonight, Lord willing. But baptism doesn't save. Joining the church doesn't save you. And even turning over new leaves doesn't save you. What saves you is the Holy Ghost of God working in your heart, bringing conviction, drawing you to Jesus, and you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I'm glad salvation is a real thing that happens in our hearts and in our lives and makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And I say to you today, may God help us that we might examine ourselves and look at ourselves and say, I'm saved. We sung that song a while ago. I'm glad it's well with my soul. I'm glad I know that. And Brother Tim made it plain as he testified about that. No matter if the world crumbles, and I forget how he put that, but it doesn't make any difference what happens around us. If we are saved, it's well with our soul. I may get tore up otherwise, physically, I may be emotionally, but I can tell you right now, it's well with my soul. And I praise God for that reality. If you're saved, you can say the same thing. It's well with my soul. And that's the greatest thing anybody can say anyway. It's well with my soul. Thank God it's well with my soul. Is it well with your soul? As this young man that died, if I understand it correctly, passed away suddenly. I think he had some kind of a physical problem, but they were not expecting this, I don't think. And he passed away 24 years of age. And I want you to think about that. And you may be here today and say, well, I got plenty of time. I just wait and I get saved later. Did you know one of the devil's biggest tools is procrastination? I'll put it off. I'll get saved later. I'll wait till Jubilee and get saved. I'll wait till the next time we have revival and get saved. I'll wait till some other time and get saved. I can tell you right now, the devil will tell you that every time something comes around another time. Ain't not a better time to get saved than right now in the house of God. Amen. And fact is, it'd be good if somebody just jump up and run down the aisle and say, I got to get saved. I'd like to see that kind of conviction. I'd like to see that kind of work of God in our hearts. I'm telling you, Jesus still saves sinners that'll come and trust him as their Lord and their Savior. So today, and we're trying to get ready for Jubilee. And if you're going to really get in Jubilee and really get something out of it for your help, you need to be saved, born again when it gets here, so you'll be ready and let God do something for you. But let me say this. We today many times have unconcerned spirit. Unconcerned spirit. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, is that great verse about revival. Here's what it says. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people. Now I want you to get that if you don't get anything else I say today. It says if my people, it didn't say if Washington, D.C. got straightened out. It didn't say if Congress got straightened out and the president and all that. It didn't say that. He didn't even say if every liquor joint would close up. He didn't say if every drunk would get right. He didn't say that. He didn't say if those out there are homosexuals would get right. He didn't say that. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. The greatest need America has tonight today is not the fact of politics. The greatest need we have is not homosexuals getting out of the way. The greatest need we have is in our churches across America, and the greatest need America has is for God's people to get right with God and humble and pray and seek his face. He said, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their... That's a promise from God. He said, I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. And brother, we stand in need of healing today. And America stands in need of healing. And you and I are the ones that need to listen to God, hear what God has to say, and let God help us so we can get right with God and get a concern for others. Amen. We need that compassionate heart. When the Bible speaks many times that Jesus walked by, he had compassion on them. He cared about them and have a concern in our. And if I'm not careful, if you're not careful, you'll get hard-hearted about things. You see so much sin, you see so much corruption, you'll get hard-hearted about it. But I want you to know Jesus is a compassionate heart. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be somewhere this morning in jail. I'd be somewhere this morning drunk. I'd be somewhere this morning on drugs. I'd be maybe in hell. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I don't have anything to boast in except Jesus Christ and his righteousness and the blood that was shed at Calvary for my sin and your sin, and thank God for it. And those other folk out there, I pray God to help them. I pray God give me a concern for them. Help me have a compassionate heart and care about them like we should. Look in Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And the law of God is that we go be a witness unto him. But where there is no vision, the people perish. When we lose our vision, what can be done in our community? People lost without God. When we lose a vision of growing for the grace of God, when we lose that vision, we're unconcerned and need help. And so I'm trying to help you today that we need help. In Psalm 142, and verse number 4, I believe it is, the psalmist David said that he looked on his right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know him. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. Wouldn't you hate to be out there somewhere today and feel like nobody cared about you? Nobody loved you. Nobody cared. And sometimes these people out there we meet along the way, rub shoulders with, or have an opportunity to just tell them, can I help you? Could I invite you to church? Could I give you a tract? Could I invite you to Christ? Could I be a blessing to you? And so we need a concern about that and let God help us in that. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I say hallelujah. We need a concerned spirit. And tragedies in our church today is that unsaved church members sit on pews and won't get saved. Let pride stand in the way and will not admit they're lost because they feel like it'd be let me ask you a question. Would it be more of a shame for you to come down an aisle and confess you're lost and get saved or to stand before God and be cast into hell? And that's no brainer for sure. And you ought to be aware of that, so had I. But let me tell you the third thing quickly. Unforgiven spirit. We have an unforgiven spirit in our hearts and lives, individuals, each other. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget those things behind. We have problems behind us. We have things that have happened, things that we bother us, but we need to forget about, let God help us, let God do for us. Fact is, in Matthew, talked about, I believe Matthew 6, can't remember the verse, but he said, if you don't forgive men that trespass against you, neither will your Father forgive the trespass that you make against him. And we need to remember that. And you say, preacher, then I've got to do for you to save me. No, if you're saved and you won't forgive somebody, you're out of fellowship with God, and God's not going to hear your prayer until you get back in fellowship with God. And getting in fellowship with God is forgiving. Amen. There must be some forgiveness in this thing to really be right with God. And sometimes we harbor thoughts, we harbor things in our hearts. You say, preacher, and we're not that kind. You're breathing, aren't you? If you're breathing, you're one of the got kind, because the whole human race has a problem with it. And we'll get something in our minds. I realize some people let it harbor when they ought to give it to God and forget about it. But that's what we need to do, is give it to God and forget about it. Well, so-and-so did this to me, or so-and-so did that to me. Well, so-and-so have to answer to God for what they did. But we have to answer for God for us, not somebody else. And I'm thinking about, and I got it wrote down somewhere. It's a great big long word. I couldn't pronounce it if I had to, but I wrote it down one day. I saw it, wrote it down, and got a lot of letters in it. And a missionary was working with the Eskimos years ago and trying to find a word for forgiveness. Forgive. They couldn't find a word. They didn't have a word for it. Eskimo language had no word for forgiveness, or I forgive you, had no word for it. So they tried to make them a word, and here's what they came up with. I cannot remember it anymore. Not able to remember it anymore. That's what forgiveness is. Amen. And so you really forgive, you're not able to remember it anymore. You put it away, put it outside. I thought about that, hallelujah. God stirred my heart, and I thought, praise God, that's a good one for forgiveness, amen. Just put it aside, leave it alone, and push it out of your mind, and let God help you, and he will. I'm sure that he will, and you can thank God for it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Spirit of God and the power of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, today that we can open the Word of God and endeavor to preach. And Father, as we think about tragedies in our churches and where we are across America, Lord, the unconcerned spirit, unforgiving spirit, unsaved church members, Lord, today I pray the Holy Ghost would work in hearts. I pray that you'd have your way. I ask you, God, to speak to every heart in this building. Lord, the preaching may stutter and stammer and fail, but thy word is truth. It shall endure forever. And Father, thy word, you said, would not return to thee void. It would accomplish wherein that you send it. So, Father, you laid on my heart this message. I pray today that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to somebody that's lost. They may not be church members, but they're lost. They're without God. They realize that fact. I pray the Holy Spirit make it so real to them right now that they can't get away from it, but they'll come and trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. I pray then, Lord, for those who are here today and they realize they have an unconcerned spirit and they're concerned about it. They have a desire to let you help them have compassion and care. Father, I want to join with that crowd and ask you to help me. Then, Father, this unforgiving spirit, somebody here that has something they need to forgive, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would work in their hearts and deal with their lives that thy will may be done. Help all of us see ourselves, examine ourselves, and, Father, let you have your way. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you stand, please?